Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Brought to you by First Bank. You work hard for your business. So should your bank. Talk to a First Bank business specialist today. First Bank. Business banking for good. Member FDIC.
Go to 1043thefan.com and subscribe to The Fan Daily for the latest columns, blogs, news, videos, and more sent directly to your inbox every weekday morning.
Forget about then drafting a quarterback in the first round. I would even say I'll even go against my khaki pants theory then. I wouldn't even bother drafting a quarterback in the second or third round. I wouldn't even, because what you are laying it out in a way that completely neuters the idea that the rest of the NFL tells me by their moves. Forget about what they're saying. Watch what they're doing, that kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
With all of the rush and the hyperventilation to try to go find your quarterback of the future, the way you're laying it out, it's like, why even bother? Just go get some quarterback, some guy in the third, fourth, fifth round. Just load up on offensive linemen, defensive linemen. Build your trenches, you know, get a couple of good receivers, get a good tight end, make sure you have a shutdown safety back there, and that's all you need to win. You have completely neutered the quarterback conversation this morning. You have made it sound like it is the ultimate dependent position.
I'm telling you, look at the teams that are controlling line of scrimmage. Look at the teams that are winning games. Are they winning games like the average team, are they winning games because they can control line of scrimmage and run the football? Or are they winning games because their quarterback is just a unicorn and he is just destroying the rest of the league?
Okay,
like,
so
in Buffalo right now, hold on, this is what I saw. In Buffalo right now, they're 4-1. Are they winning because they control the trenches, they run the ball, and they play great defense? Or are they winning because they're the quarterback?
They're winning because they play great defense.
Okay.
Baltimore. They don't even run the ball that well.
In Baltimore, are they winning because they run the ball, play great defense, or are they winning because their quarterback is exceptional? He's just the best thing ever. He is a unicorn. He's unbelievable.
He's not a unicorn, no.
Okay. All right. Great. I'm glad. Okay, right now. In Houston, okay, I'll give you Houston. I'll give you that Deshaun Watson's playing great football. I'll give you that. So the score right now is 2-1. On my favor. How about in Indianapolis? Is it because they're running the ball, they're controlling the trenches, and their backup quarterback is their backup quarterback a unicorn, or is it because they're playing great defense, controlling the trenches?
He's a dependent quarterback. Fine.
Okay, so now I'm 3-1 in my assessment of winning teams in the AFC right now, and Kansas City is 4-2. Are they winning because of the unicorn? Okay, so now I'm 3-2. That's the AFC side for you. Okay, how about we go to the NFC side? Dallas, they're 3-3. They're leading that division. They've lost three games when they're depending on their quarterback to win them the game. When they run the heck out of the football and play great defense, they win. Right. So now I'm four and two. How about Green Bay? I'll give it to you. You got Aaron Rodgers. I'm 4-3. But what about Minnesota? Are they winning because of Kirk Cousins? No, they're not.
Well,
now I'm 5-3.
Wait a minute. Last couple of weeks, they've been throwing the ball around.
Dude, they had the leading running back.
Everybody mad.
Yes. Well, I'm telling you what, but I'm right on that one too. Hey, in New Orleans, they're 5-1. Is it because of Teddy Bridgewater and he's a unicorn, or is it because they control line of scrimmage? I'm right again. How about Carolina with their backup quarterback? Oh, he's undrafted. I'm right again. And you know what? They're going to replace the number one overall pick in Cam Newton because he can't play. I'm right again. San Francisco, I'm right again. I'm just telling you.
And believe me, part of me is like, you keep going, Stink. I'm cheering you on because you are you are completely obliterating, you know, D-Mac's argument that you have to have a quarterback, you have to draft him in the top 15. I mean, you're even making, not only are you making the khaki pants quarterback theory look great, you're actually even making me think that the khaki pants theory ought to be just grab a quarterback in the third or fourth round and then just build up the rest of your team. So, okay, then question mark presented by Breaks Plus then is and here's my question for you. Are you telling me that the entire NFL, by and large, the entire NFL has it completely wrong when it comes to I am doing, question mark, Millennial Ben. Is it, does the NFL have it completely wrong when it comes to the way that they approach the quarterback position? That is your question mark.
Yeah. Yeah, they do. Hey,
they got the whole league is wrong.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
The league is... the whole league is wrong.
Sure.
All right.
Absolutely.
Why do you, since we're having this conversation, why is the whole league wrong? Why is it?
It's a great question. I'd like an answer, because their actions year after year, every year we get done with the season and say, as we look ahead to the draft, yeah, there's probably about maybe, two quarterbacks that should go in the first round. And we know that every single year, by the time the draft rolls around, there will be four or five that will go in the first round. They right. automatically get lifted. They automatically get overrated, and they end up going higher than they should. So that's right. My question to you. Why?
Well, I mean, it's easy. Because it sells tickets. It's easy.
That's all it is?
It's everybody wants that unicorn. So they talk themselves in to overdrafting a guy that deep down inside they know is not the guy, but they hope maybe he develops into the guy. They hope that maybe it works out. They hope that, that the old hope is not a strategy. They hope it's phenomenal. They hope that he becomes Patrick Mahomes. They hope all those things. But the bottom line is what? You can sell it.
Wait,
hey, man.
But if you're saying that this is all a crapshoot, and all this history out there tells us that drafting a quarterback in the first round is a crapshoot, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then I would think that a team would sit back and say, whoa, let all those other teams overreact. Let all those other teams overdraft. All we're going to do is we're just going to draft stud linemen, offensive defense. We're going to put some good playmakers out there, and we're going to be set. Why do so few teams even try to do that?
Well, I think the quickest way to spinning your fortunes around, Mike, is the quickest way is to draft the unicorn quarterback, right? And all of a sudden, everybody's excited about that, right? Everybody's all giddy about that. And, it's hard to find good offensive linemen in the draft as well. I mean, and again, I think the other thing that you look at is you're limited as far as when you hire a head coach. You got a couple of years to turn it around. If you don't turn it around, they're going to hire the next head coach. So the easiest thing to do is, as a franchise, if your GM is draft one of these quarterbacks in the first round, reach for one of these guys and hope that it pans out and it buys you time.
Wow. Wow, then. There are a lot of dumb people running franchises, okay. Then. If that's all it is just about covering their butts and just appeasing people with the idea that, hey, look at our shiny new toy. That's it. That's the long range plan. Wow, there are a lot of dummies out there. Adam Schefter's not a dummy. He's our great NFL ESPN insider. He joins us each and every week, presented by your Front Range Mercedes-Benz dealers. He joins us here on Game Day. Hello, Adam.
Hello there, Mike and Stink. Good morning to you and to all of Colorado. Big night tonight, huh?
Huge night tonight, Adam. I mean, obviously, Broncos, Kansas City, and there's been a lot of things going on with Kansas City injury-wise. What's the latest on Patrick Mahomes? Because, I want him to be well, and he's fun to watch, but I just don't want him to be well on Thursday night.
Well, I don't think he's well, but I think he's well enough to play and be effective. Now, he's not operating at 100%. He's been battling this sprained ankle. Maybe it's a high ankle, maybe it's not, but it's an ankle injury. And he's been battling it since the regular season opener. He initially hurt it against Jacksonville, aggravated it against Indy. I think aggravated it again last week against Houston. And they've lost two straight games against two AFC South teams, both at Kansas City. And this team's too good to lose two straight home games. And it's hard to imagine that they're going to lose three straight games. A team that many forecasted to be in or even win the Super Bowl, losing three straight, that's hard to process, to be honest with you. But I think Mahomes' health is a part of this, and I don't think he's fully healthy. But he will be out there tonight, and he still is very dangerous.
Adam, before we go any further, I have to ask you, what is it like to do the Lambeau Leap?
Well, boy.
I mean, you did it. You did it, barely, but you did it.
Hold on. So last Thursday, my producers called me. They said, hey, when we're in Green Bay Monday night, how would you feel about closing the show by doing a leap? I said, okay. Now, again, I'm all game for things like this. I've continually done things that are well outside my boundaries of athleticism throughout my time at ESPN. But I will just say that the only thing I was worried about was tearing my Achilles, ripping my groin, pulling my hamstring, something that would be detrimental to my health, something really bad. And so I was just petrified about that, to be honest with you. And there were no rehearsals. There was no practice. You just try to get through it. And so I did it. And I have to say, I was, just hear me out. I was so relieved and elated and honestly proud of myself that I got up there. And someone came over and said, you want to watch it? I said, let me see it. And they showed it to me. And I said, oh, my God, that is so embarrassing. I jumped maybe 1 inch. Like, I thought I got up there. I'm like, wow, I got up there. That's pretty good. And then I saw the replay. I'm like, man, I got zero hops. I've got no vertical. I am a 52-year-old washed up, you know, athletically challenged guy. And that's just the way that it's going to be for the remainder of my life.
I don't care. Let me tell you, I just looked at the video again and we just posted it, on our Twitter handle. Dude, mad props for you, because there were literally, I mean, there's 60,000 people. You did this in front of 60,000 people, and you got up over the wall. I don't care how it looked. You did it, man. I mean, that took guts. Major onions. Double order.
Adam, this is what I'm going to tell you. No matter how bad you feel about where your athleticism is, you can always put up Darren Revelle video of him running 40s, and you can always feel better about yourself. Because I told my man Darren Revelle, I was like, hey, listen, brother, you got onions just to post that, because that's the worst looking run I've ever seen in my entire life. So you've got that going for you, Adam.
Well, thank you. So it's not good, but it's better than Revelle, right?
Yeah. There you go.
Hey, mad respect, Adam. Mad respect. Hey, back to some NFL stuff. The Jalen Ramsey trade is, he got what he wanted, right? He wanted out. He got out.
Yeah.
Jacksonville got a pretty good haul in return. Does this just further increase the odds that the trade deadline coming up here in about 10 days could be pretty wild?
Well, you know, what's interesting is we saw three trades on Monday. Or Tuesday, what was that? Whatever the day that was. I don't know. Anyway, it was three trades that day. And again, I think we've seen an uptick in activity towards the trade deadline with younger general managers and more aggressive thinking and teams seeing the way that other teams have operated and succeeded by doing it. And it's also a question of winners and losers, and short-term thinking and long-term thinking. And the losing teams are thinking long-term, and the winning teams are thinking short-term, and you marry that up, and you've gotten more and more activity at the trade deadline. And I would think that we'll see more of it again leading up to the trade deadline on Tuesday, October 29th. I'm going to guess we see 2, 3, 4 more trades, maybe 5. It's just that the NFL has been more aggressive and more open-minded about these kinds of moves. And I would think that we'll continue to see that. You know, the other thing that's interesting about the Jalen Ramsey trade is I think more and more we're seeing players see some power in the NFL and taking matters into their own hands. We saw Khalil Mack do it last year, Jadeveon Clowney and Minkah Fitzpatrick do it this year. Jalen Ramsey really did it. Like, he was never going to play it down for the Jaguars until the trade deadline came and went and they threatened to take away his money. He just wasn't going to play. And he met with the owner last week, and the owner thought he was going to play, but he wasn't. And it was a stare down. And I guess you could say Jalen Ramsey won, except Jacksonville got back 2-1s and a 4 for a player, so it won 2. So there are a lot of winners here.
What about in Denver? I mean, you know, I know right now they're trying to win and they feel pretty good about what they've done the last couple of weeks. But you lose this game Thursday night. I know, like, I don't think they're actively, and John Elway said he's not actively trying to seek anybody, but there could be people reaching out for a Vaughn Miller or Chris Harris Jr. or something of that nature. If they lose this game tonight, does that open up the kind of trade avenue for the Denver Broncos, in your opinion?
Here's my question. Who does Denver play next week, too?
They're at Indy.
Okay. Tough game. So, I do believe, and nobody said this to me, it's just common sense. I do believe that these next two games will go some way towards determining how active they are or aren't in the trade deadline and what direction they go. Like, if they win the two games, I wouldn't be shocked to see them go out and try to trade for a player. If they lost both games, I could see them shedding a player or two. And if they split, I could see them trading a player, like an Emmanuel Sanders, maybe. Okay, so there's a lot riding on these two games, a lot. And I think it will help dictate and determine the direction of this franchise for the remainder of 2019. If they somehow pull an upset tonight, I think they're going to be more emboldened and more empowered to be more aggressive and hold on to their own guys as well. If they lose and they lose next week and you come up two straight losses going into the trade deadline, I wouldn't be surprised to see a player or two dealt. So a lot comes down to these 2 weeks, because if they win both games, can find a way to win both games, and I think that that's ambitious, but look, that, you know, if we get done, then they're going to feel really good about their chances at making a run. And if they don't win both games, they're not. So I think it's pretty simple. I mean, that's just common sense to me.
Hey, is Jason Garrett and Dan Quinn two coaches that hot seat is getting very hot right now?
Well, listen, in the NFL, we could do this every year on October 17th. There's always going to be coaches who are under pressure to win, and I think that those two seats are some of the hottest seats right now. Dan Quinn is definitely in trouble. I think everybody would agree to that. You know, there's going to be changing the landscape. And Jason Garrett, the funny thing there is, we talk about Jason Garrett every year. Every year. And I think that we should wait through the season. And you know, and the thing is that on Jason Garrett, you know, the funny thing is 3 weeks ago, there was an actual conversation in social media and on ESPN or whatever it is. Should Jason Garrett be extended? Should he be extended? Camino, should they give him an extension? That was actually a topic. And 3 weeks later, the question is, should they fire Jason Garrett? I was grabbing my morning coffee this morning, and a guy said to me, hey, big Cowboy fan, if they lose Sunday night to the Eagles, are they going to fire Garrett on Monday? I mean, it is unbelievable that you know, the ups and downs, how reactive people are, you know, to the latest. When nobody wants to be patient and let the season play out and assess things at the end. Everybody wants an answer and a conclusion right now. And so this year we've extended Jason Garrett, we fired Jason Garrett. it's comical to me. It really is.
Okay, I want an answer. Do the Broncos come away with a victory and in Thursday night, or do you think Kansas City? You already said you have a tough time imagining losing three in a row. So what do you got?
It's hard to pick against the Chiefs, and it's hard to pick against the Chiefs when they're coming off two straight losses. And, you know, listen, the home team in a Thursday night game has an advantage, I think, and not having to travel. So it sets up about as well as it can for Denver with Sammy Watkins out and Eric Fisher out and Patrick Mahomes hobbled. Tyreek Hill scares the bejesus out of me, and Travis Kelce's due to erupt, and I just think that they're going to have their hands full tonight. That's what I think.
All right. Again, check out Adam's Lambo Leap on our Twitter page.
Lambo Hop.
And the thing about it is that it's not that, I mean, you're like standing basically around the 30 yard line, and it's not that far before game time. The crowd's already in the stands, and you take off at a good trot, heading for the stands, and I'm telling you, man, at that moment, I'm looking at you going, oh, my God, I can't believe what is going – I can't imagine what's going through your mind at that moment.
What am I doing?
My adrenaline was pumping. There aren't many times that I could feel my heart pounding in life, right? It doesn't really happen. It happened the first time I ever did Sports Reporters at ESPN. It happened when I was doing sidelines for Madden and Michaels on NBC on a Sunday night telecast when Andrea Kramer was at the Olympics and they had me filling in. I felt my adrenaline pumping, and it happened Monday night when I'm running towards the wall and just praying to God that I clear the wall and not wind up with a fall on an ambulance call.
And thanks to the people in the front row who gave you a little bit of assist pulling you up.
Yeah, that's fine. You know, but what happened is I got up there, and I was, like, sliding back, and nobody was holding on to me, and I'm holding on for dear life because I know my producer said, look, we're going to be up for 15 seconds. If you get up there, just hold on. And I'm like, and it was so hard to hold on, and I was so overjoyed and elated. It was something I'll always remember. It was kind of cool.
Nicely done. Nicely done, Adam.
Good work, Adam.
Thank you,
Adam.
Good work.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Go ahead. Who are you guys picking tonight?
Oh, we're taking the Broncos. Come on,
man. Absolutely. Broncos win.
Both of you guys?
Yep. Wow. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, why do you think that?
It all sets up. You could not get the Chiefs in a better situation than what you have right now. Lost two in a row. Got to be questioning themselves a little about their ability to stand up against teams that just challenge them with the run game. Mahomes is banged up. Short work week. They got a lot of injuries. I just think it's the perfect. If you're ever going to beat the Chiefs, it has to happen tonight.
Well, yeah. that's what I did say. So who plays big for Denver tonight? Who comes through? Where's the big game?
I think both running backs have a big game. I think this is the coming out party for Noah Fant. I think he'll have a game in the red zone where he scores a touchdown, maybe two. It's going to have to be that. I think defensively, you're going to see some of the personnel changes they've made on the defensive side pay dividends. Von Miller's going to have a big game tonight with Noah Fisher out there. I just think those are the things that, but again, these are things that have to happen. You know, they have to happen. So I'm going with the have to happen stuff. Kind of like you have to get up on top of that wall.
You have to.
When you're doing the Lambeau
leap.
You
have to. And you did it.
And you did it. So you're my inspiration for a Broncos win tonight. Thank you. Thank you, Adam.
It'll be interesting to see if you guys are right. It won't surprise me. I just, like I said, you know how I feel about tonight.
Yeah.
All right. Good stuff. Adam Schefter joining us, presented by your Front Range Mercedes-Benz Steelers. I knew he had done it, but I never really, I didn't see it live, and so I was just looking at the video. I give him a lot of credit. I didn't realize, I mean, the entire stadium was filled in. He did this in front of the entire stadium. Can you imagine? I ask everybody out there who is, a past their prime athlete, mm-hmm. or never was, okay, to be imagining in front of a full house at Mile High, with basically everybody watching.
Right.
And you start at the 30-yard line, and you start running down to the end zone with the idea that you're going to try to jump up over that wall.
Right.
I mean,
Mike, you want me on that wall.
The possibilities of...
You need me on that wall.
The possibilities of embarrassing moments are... I mean, there's too many to count. And I give him credit. That took guts. Onions. Double order.
I mean, that's not.
No, that was gutsy. That could have been. Now, hey, in the world we live in, with social media, things going viral, he could have been an all-time gif.
Yeah, that.
I mean,
that,
seriously, he could have been. That could have been an all-timer.
That part.
If that thing hadn't worked out.
You're that part. I'll give you 100%. You're. There's no question. That could have been an all-time debacle.
Hey,
that could have followed you around for the rest of your life.
Hey, welcome to my nightmare, Mark Schlereth.
What's that?
You now, have you looked at Twitter lately?
No.
Our little special friend, D-Mac, is coming after you now. Because you are, I mean, you thought I diminished the idea of drafting quarterbacks in the first round?
Uh-huh. Huh?
You came out and said you wouldn't even draft him in the first round? The second round, your idea is that it's all about drafting key players at other positions. Quarterback is a dependent position, and that your insistence that teams only draft quarterbacks in the first round, high in the first round, because it's all about appeasing fans and covering general managers' butts. Uh-oh, You're in for it now.
And that's not exactly. That's hey.
I know.
You're great at putting words in my mouth,
but that's what you said.
That's not what I said. But I said there's a lot of that that goes on because they overdraft quarterbacks in the first round because they have such a desire to have that unicorn quarterback. Now, if you find a guy who you think is that guy, you find the Patrick Mahomes of the world and you're sold on that guy. Now remember, there was one dude that was really sold on that guy, Andy Reid. There was plenty of other, I mean, he still went 10 overall, so there was 9 teams that weren't sold on him. So I'm just telling you that if you find that guy, I'm fine with you drafting 1 overall or 2 overall or or 10 or whatever it is. But the bottom line for you to step up and take Josh Allen or, Josh Rosen or whoever it is, just because you gotta have a quarterback in the first round, then that's stupid. That's all. It's dumb.
Well, I'm just warning you.
Listen.
Get ready.
Listen. Do you think I care?
I'm just telling you.
You know me well enough.
I'm just telling you.
Okay. All right.
All right.
All right, I'll look during the break.
He's taking credit. He thinks that we've now proven his point. What are you talking about? I mean, you went even deeper. You went even full more in than I ever have. I mean, I say you take a quarterback in the second round. You're like, nah, third round, fourth round, whatever. It doesn't matter. You just need to build up a really good team around him. I call yours, I have the khaki pants theory.
Yeah.
He's got the Hall of Fame 5. I think you have the, I don't know. What would be a good way? How do we define your strategy? I'm going to call it the Brissett doctrine.
The Brissett? Call it the Rippin. I won a Super Bowl with Mark Rippin.
That's true, you did.
The Rippin experience, or the Brissett doctrine
or something like this. The Rippin effect or something like that. We got to come up with something. Maybe the texters can help us. We need something to describe your quarterback strategy, which is even more conservative than mine.
Good.
Which I never thought was possible. So good for you, man. Good for you. All right, Bronco fans, how you seeing it tonight? How you feeling as we inch closer to kickoff? We'll get to some of your texts next.
You work hard for your business. So should we. That's why First Bank offers commercial real estate loans, business lines of credit, and online cash management solutions. With tools and services designed to make your business run easier, your day could have less this and more this. Visit eFirstBank.com/business to learn more. First Bank, business banking for good. Member FDIC.
First Bank, banking for good.
Okay, we're on to something here. Because you have blown all of us away with your absolute neutering of what you think of the quarterback position. And I suppose I shouldn't be surprised, since you've gone to such great lengths to support the way that Joe Flacco's playing, that I shouldn't be surprised that you are doubling down and you are completely taking the idea of the quarterback position and just relegating it to, hey, look, just put some capable game manager back there and it's all about building a good team around him. So we need a name for that. So whereas, let's say, D-Mac has the, hey, pick whatever quarterback, fill in the blank as long as it's in the top 5 strategy.
Right.
I have the khaki pants strategy, which is to take a quarterback in rounds 2 through 4. Yours, we need a name for. So we've been getting a lot of great ideas. People are coming up with some good stuff.
All right.
Let's run some of these by you.
Okay.
The Brissett Fitzmagic coefficient. The Rippin Warner postulate.
Mm-hmm.
The Brissett paradox. Sounds like a Robert Ludlum book.
Mm-hmm.
How about the P-Pants postulate?
P-Pants postulate.
The Jorts memorandum. The Minshew memo. One of these has got to stick.
I like something with Kurt Warner. The Warner Project.
Montana purchase. I like that. That's kind of.
Ooh, the Montana purchase.
Montana purchase.
It's like the Alan Parsons Project. The Warner Montana Project. I don't know.
I like this. The New Balance Theory. New Balance, as in the shoes old dudes used to wear to mow their lawns. The Slaughter Principle.
The Slaughter Principle. That sounds like a Janet Jackson song.
I like
the
that.
The Slaughter Principle. Yeah.
Forget about khaki pants. How about the no pants theory? That's from Rob. The meathead theory. So there you go. You have. So just, is this the hill you want to plant your flag on? That your belief is that the quarterback position has become so dependent on everything else going on around him that, you know, really, you just, I mean, God, no, take a quarterback in the first round. You just take one in what, the fourth, fifth round, and then just use all your other picks to find difference makers at other positions. Do I have this right?
Well, no. Of course, you have to take the nuance out of it, and you've got to put a stamp on it. The point is, you better make sure if you're drafting a quarterback, you're drafting the right one, and not just one because you want one. Like, not, you just don't draft one because you want one.
Well, what are you thinking? Okay, what are you thinking you're getting if the idea is I'm hoping to get the right one? What does that mean?
Well, it means you better be right. I don't know. Hey, listen, man. There were as many people. There were general managers in this league, smart general managers, smart football guys, that thought Ryan Leaf was going to be better than Peyton Manning.
Yep.
You better pick the right one.
Well, to me then, if the idea is that these guys, these teams are drafting these quarterbacks way higher than they should be going because they're looking for their unicorn. So you're telling me that there were supposedly smart football people who are in charge with millions of dollars of resources when it comes to evaluating players at their disposal, scouts laid out all around the country, all of this responsibility, all this football acumen, and you're telling me they looked at Jameis Winston, Marcus Mariota, Blake Bortles, Mitch Trubisky, I could go on, and they saw unicorn? Wow. We got some stupid people running franchises. Wow. So guys like me and all kinds of others listening out there really have a point when they say, you know what? You give me a chance to run an NFL franchise. I'll tell you what, I won't do any worse. Because that's what you're telling me. If you're telling me that guys honestly in charge looked at Josh Rosen and said, unicorn, wow. We got dumb people running franchises.
I'm not a smart man.
I don't know. I don't know that they said unicorn, but they said, hey, guy is, you know, ready to go and we need a quarterback. And so let's go, you know, I mean, hey, let's hope it works out. But the bottom line is we can excite our fan base.
Well, then just call it for what it is that this is the cover your butt. We're playing our fans for suckers theory when it comes to drafting quarterbacks in the first round. Because that's all it is. I mean, hey, look at our shiny new toy at quarterback. Yay, we're set for the next 15 years. That's the thinking that goes into drafting these guys? Wow.
Well, explain it to me then. Explain how I talked to multiple teams that took Paxton Lynch off their board and said you can't draft him. And how he gets drafted 26th overall.
I think you are partially right.
How do you explain that? Other than we really need a guy. And boy, he's got a lot of talent. And under our expert tutelage, we think we can make him a player.
I think.
How do you explain it?
I think that does explain it. That does explain it. So, and that proves why picks like Paxton Lynch are so stupid.
So, well, but to my point then, it's this. That if we're going to label it something, we need to label it first round desperation. You're desperate. And, you know, it's not that you're selling your fans for suckers, and it's not that, you know, that you think they're unicorns. You're just so desperate that you're willing to do things in hopes. Like, that's not really a plan.
Yeah. Okay. I'm fine. I am fine with that.
It's my whole theory is first round desperation.
Perfect.
And first round desperation, you know what that causes? That causes long-term mediocrity.
Great. I'm with that. You're right. All these teams that overdraft these quarterbacks in the first round, the root of that pick is not, hey, we are convinced that this is the right guy. We have done our research. We have done our due diligence. This is the guy. Nope.
Mm-hmm.
It's not born out of that. It is born out of desperation. Great. That's exactly how I want my team to operate. Well done.
Right. Yeah. Congratulations.
Hmm.
Anyhow.
Some more theories coming in here. What do we call it here? Let's see. The Dak Doctrine.
The Dak Doctrine. The Doctrine.
I like that.
Yeah.
Anytime you can get Doctrine in there, that's good.
Yeah. I
love the Minshew Manifesto. That's good. That's a good one too.
That is.
That's a good one. That's a good, good one. There's a lot of them. All right. Well, we'll get to some more of those coming up. In addition to our fearless Broncos Chiefs predictions, they're coming your way next. Man, I have not been this fired up for a regular season game in some time, Mark. Even last year. Remember last year when they won those three games in a row?
Uh-huh.
And they got to what, 6-6?
6-6, and then they played the Niners.
Right, and you were all week saying,
cover.
All week you were like, hey, look, I'm just going to tell you, my key to the game is just don't let George Kittle beat you. That's all I'm going to tell you.
Right.
He just kept saying it over and over
again. 70 catches, 210 yards.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I really thought
all the first half.
I really
210
thought he was,
yards receiving in the first half.
I really thought he was going to go for 300. I'm.
They shut him down. They felt bad. Like, listen, man.
But you know, there they were at 6-6, having just won three games in a row, going to San Francisco, and I still didn't feel the same sense of anticipation for that game as I do this one. And I think it just comes down to this is as one of our great texters put it earlier this morning. This is a watershed moment game for this entire organization. The watershed moment, those moments that come along in your life that can change the course of your life, honestly.
Right.
It's a watershed moment. And I think what makes this game so fascinating is how not only the future of the season, but honestly, the future of the direction that this organization goes in hinges on this game. It's fascinating to me. It's great. I can't wait to see how it all plays out.
It is. It is that so many things hinge upon it. Like, let's face it. You win this game, it sets you up for next week's matchup against Indianapolis, and then it's the bye right after that.
Yep.
So, I mean, it sets you up to say, hey, listen, if we can win these games, then like, we've got an opportunity. We're a legitimate playoff contender. Mike, a legitimate playoff contender. I mean, come on. And you lose, and all of a sudden it's like, hey, we're open for business.
Yep.
We may not be calling anybody. We may not call anybody, but, we are definitely sitting by. You ever sit by your phone waiting for something? You know, you're just kind of like, man, I got this potential opportunity. I'm just waiting for my phone to ring. I hope it comes through. You know, it's a speaking engagement or something, you know. They're just sitting by their phones waiting for them to ring. Let's see what we can get.
All right, let's get to some keys to victory.
Okay.
For you, what are they?
Well, I think, all right, on defense, I think one, you shut down the run, make them one-dimensional, and you play man behind it. You're going to play a lot of man coverage, press, disrupt routes. Obviously, you're double-teaming number 10. You're probably trying to find a way to double-team 10 and double-team Travis Kelce's number 87. And you live man-to-man the rest of across the board. And remember, when you rush four, you got seven guys in coverage. Means there's two receivers. If they get five out in the pattern, there's two guys that you can double. Like, double those two guys and play man the rest of the way. and believe that you're going to win those matchups. So I think defensively, that's the game plan that you've seen Indianapolis kind of win with. You've seen the Texans win with. I think that's the direction you need to go if you're the Denver Broncos. And then ultimately, you gotta win in the running game. You gotta be in third down and short situations, and you've got to be able to execute in the play action passing game. You do those things offensively and defensively. Those are the keys to victory.
By the way, I apologize. The bye week is after the Cleveland game, the trade deadline. For some reason, I thought you were talking about trade deadline. Trade deadline coming up after the Colts. Bye week coming after Cleveland. It is fascinating because, again, if you do not win this game, there is the opportunity for this franchise to do a complete push reset button, whole makeover approach. Because after tonight, they play two games between October 18th and November 16th. Two games. That's it.
Wow.
So you have not only the mini bye, but the full bye in it. So if you're talking about the idea that, okay, organizational reset, we want to start getting Drew Lock up to speed, we want to take a look at more young players, and we want to put them in a position to do more, they are going to have the time over the next month, basically, to do that because they only play two games in that midst. So that's why this thing is so crucial. Now, win tonight, and now you know how you look at those two games in almost a month? Hey, a chance to get guys healthy, a chance to get guys rested for the stretch run, maybe go out and make a trade to help this team at the trade deadline. Get that player in here, get him up to speed so that he could be a key contributor. Maybe now instead of, looking at, automatically getting young guys brought off the IR, maybe you look at Theo Riddick. We want to get Theo Riddick back in here for the stretch run. Give us another veteran, playmaking option. So, I mean, that's why this game is so interesting. Okay, it is time for our fearless King Supers predictions.
Prediction? Yes, prediction.
Hey. All right, what do you got?
Well, I've got the Broncos executing my game plan perfectly. I've got the Broncos winning this game. I'm taking the Broncos 29, the Chiefs 27.
Whoa. You got them scoring 29 points?
Yeah.
29 points?
Yep.
What do you got? Two defensive touchdowns and a punt return?
They're ready to break out, Mike. They are ready to break out. But you rather me go 30?
You desperately want me to have to write a blog next week, don't you?
Oh, you're writing a blog.
You want that.
You are writing a blog.
You want me on that blog. You need me writing that blog.
Yes. Yes. You're on that blog.
I know, I can see through you here. You're like, yeah, I like the Broncos. I like them 129 because you know that if Joe Flacco goes out and has a big game offensively with big numbers and they win a high-scoring game, I am going to have to be forced to apologize to you in the form of a blog. Not a column, a blog.
It's going to be wonderful.
See, that's what she did. It's so obvious. It's so transparent.
Oh, well, of course it is.
I know. That's all right.
I won't apologize for it.
I can't blame you. I can't blame you. No. By the way, what happens if they win and they do it... What happens if they lose and the offense doesn't show up? What do you owe me?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I see how that works.
Yeah.
I'm going to go Broncos 23-20. And this is why it's such a important game. You will never get a better chance to beat the Chiefs than right now. Okay? You want to be taken seriously? You want to say you're in it to win it? Well, then here comes a team that you have to go through. You've lost seven straight times to enough is enough. You have to beat them. And you get them here at home, short week, banged up Mahomes, banged up Chiefs, coming off two straight losses where they were just manhandled physically.
Right.
You are never going to have a better chance. It is a must win, and I think that they rise to the challenge, 23-20. You can get ready for tonight's game with The Drive. Tyler, Nick, and D-Mac will be broadcasting live from Viewhouse Littleton this afternoon, starting at 3, taking you right up until kickoff. Stop by, meet the guys before the game, ask D-Mac about his desperation strategy when it comes to, I don't know if it's a desperation strategy, but after the way you laid it out, I'm going to start calling it the cover my butt, play my fans for suckers strategy when it comes to drafting quarterbacks in the first round. Is that about right?
No, that's not. No, no. The desperation strategy is better.
Desperation strategy? All right. We'll call it the ask him about his desperation strategy when it comes to drafting quarterbacks in the first round. All right, Mark, should be a lot of fun. You'll be watching it tonight. We'll be back bright and early tomorrow morning at Bud Light Football Friday to break it all down. In the meantime, Sandy and Orlando ready to take their shots at what this game's going to look like. They're coming up next.
You work hard for your business. So should we. That's why First Bank offers commercial real estate loans, business lines of credit, and online cash management solutions. With tools and services designed to make your business run easier, your day could have less this and more this. Visit eFirstBank.com/business to learn more. First Bank. Business banking for good. Member FDIC. First
Bank. Banking for good.